Welcome back to the History of North America Extra. I'm Mark Vinette. The Dead Letter, Chapter 21, Part 2. Wade circled the 10-by-14-foot fenced-in monument, but kept an ear tuned into Hewitt's voice. Julia continued to be mesmerized by the Queen's attire, but glanced back at the professor as encouragement for him to proceed. He did. Although the Queen's effigy is now just white marble, a drawing dating back to the early 17th century shows the Queen wearing an ermine-lined crimson robe with a blue orb in her hand, a colored dress, and flesh coloring on her face. The four lions at each corner of the effigy were gilded. As you can see, no trace of this color now remains. Hewitt paused and took a step back from the railing. Notice there are several Latin inscriptions on the monument. Allow me to read a translation. He opened a thin pamphlet that he had been carrying in his left hand since entering the abbey and began reading aloud. Sacred to memory. Religion to its primitive purity restored. Peace settled. Money restored to its just value. Domestic rebellion quelled, France relieved when involved with intestine divisions, the Netherlands supported, the Spanish Armada vanquished, Ireland almost lost by rebels, eased by routing the Spaniard, the revenues of both universities much enlarged by a law of provisions, and lastly, all England enriched. Elizabeth, a most prudent governor 45 years, a victorious and triumphant queen, most strictly religious, most happy, by a calm and resigned death, at her 70th year left her mortal remains, till by Christ's word they shall rise to immortality, to be deposited in the church, by her established and lastly founded. She died the 24th of March, Anno 1603, of her reign the 45th year, of her age the 70th. Hewitt lifted his head from the pamphlet and pointed. The inscription over here reads as follows. To the eternal memory of Elizabeth, Queen of England, France, and Ireland, daughter of King Henry VIII, granddaughter of King Henry VII, great-granddaughter to King Edward IV, mother of her country, a nursing mother to religion and all liberal sciences, skilled in many languages, adorned with excellent endowments both of body and mind, and excellent for princely virtues beyond her sex. James, King of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, hath devoutly and justly erected this monument to her whose virtues and kingdoms he inherits. And finally, on the base of the monument we find words addressing the fact that two sisters are laid to rest here. Ironically, Hewitt chuckled mildly, the Catholic bloody queen had always disliked her younger sister Elizabeth and once imprisoned her in the Tower of London. This time, Hewitt did not read from his pamphlet, but simply looked down at the inscription and offered his own extemporaneous translation. Consorts or partners, both in throne and grave, here we sleep or rest two sisters, Elizabeth and Mary, in the hope of our resurrection. The erudite professor concluded his translations just as Wade completed his circumnavigation of the marble memorial. The three stood in proximity, sharing a moment without words. Wade's device vibrated again. He fingered the screen and read its message. His face tightened. He hesitated, then looked up and met Hewitt's eyes. Does Shakespeare have any enemies in the 21st century? I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you enjoyed the listen. The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.